B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we have unfortunate news coming out of Brazil, where one of the Overwatch voice actors has met an untimely end. Also, we give you the results for Evo. You didn't even know Evo happened this weekend, did you?
No.
Also, honestly, we talk a little bit about Smash Summit as well, and the next Call of Duty leaks coming out all over the place about the next game. And as always, it's Monday, so we're going to talk a little bit about What If for Marvel Monday. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Another Monday. Here, your host, Norris Howard. I am joined alongside, to my left, LaBarba Obscura, Weird Beard. What's up?
I finally have power back. I got my power back after Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Five days. I felt like you was... Did you do something to Moses and them? Because I feel like you got hit with like two of the 10 plagues.
Is Mercury in retrograde?
No, it's not, actually.
Yes.
It could have been worse then.
Because I was like, the power went out, then you had a flood, yeah, and then you got hit with a deluge of work.
I have to know, at any point, did Jessica try to justify everything that's happening with, like, you know,
Cosmos? Yes, she always does. Always. But, like, it was just, I don't know. I'm glad to finally, like, power came on last night, air conditioning, I instantly turned it on, shut all the windows, and I haven't slept that hard in 5 days.
You literally have your home computer in the office right now.
I do.
And I'm going to be honest with you, the clickety-clacks of a mechanical gaming keyboard do not belong in the office.
Sorry. I like the click-clacks, man.
No, listen, I love me my clickety-clacks, too. I'm just saying.
I wanted it at home.
It is really weird to hear in the office, you know? But anyway, I'm happy that your power's back
and that everybody
is safe.
I'm here.
And that your basement is not a biohazard.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm very happy about that. Robbie Landis is here as well. What's up?
I got a question for you, Norris, actually.
All right.
Because I've been playing some more Final Fantasy 14, getting into Shadowbringers.
That's right.
And I asked Callie this question, wasn't really happy with the answer, and a few other people as well. So I need you to be honest with me.
Okay.
Right? Be as brutal and hard as you can, because I know that Shadowbringers is, like, you know, one of the best expansions yet.
But still not my favorite.
But at what point,
mm-hmm,
do you think that it really, like, at what point when you were playing were you like, damn, this is good?
The third act.
Okay, because I've done Alisei and Elfino. I got them back now, mm-hmm, right? And I'm still so far just kind of like, eh.
It's not
Stormblood bad. I'm going to give you that.
The story, okay. Alfino's story, I hate it. That first act.
Interesting, because you like Elfino more than Alisei.
Yeah, but I really don't like either one.
All right, third act, though.
Third act is where it really...
Okay. Because both of those stories, like, had potential, but I'm still just like...
So, okay, there is... You got both of them together.
It's no end of 2.0.
You got both of them together, and now you're going to go get more people.
Yep.
You know, whatever. You're going to go get a couple more characters. One arc will be so annoying and frustrating that you will go, oh, my God. And then halfway through it, you'll go to a fight that you're like, oh, okay, that was really cool, actually.
And then from that point on... It's good.
It's good.
All right.
You
got to get halfway through the first season, guys.
No. From that point on, do you know what it becomes? It somewhat becomes the... It feels very similar to when you first hit the road with Einsteinian and Ezeal in Heaven's Ward.
Okay.
And you remember how good that was.
We'll see.
But we'll see. It's close to that. But the third act is when a lot of the veil is removed and a lot of the drama that is set up finally culminates and it hits and certain shit gets revealed and you go,
wow.
Wow. Okay, I didn't think they were going to go all the way with this. That's what it is. 14... That was Stormblood's problem. Stormblood cock-teased you.
Never got to that point.
It cock-teased you for the whole expansion and never wrapped up. Shadowbringers, I was surprised. That was like, wow, okay, you didn't just let me put the tip in. You went all the way in.
Oh.
That was bad analogy. I just realized after I said it. But,
yeah, well, wow.
But that's what Stormblood was. It was just, you know.
Look, even when Stormblood ended and we got into Shadowbringers, Stormblood still didn't deliver on it. Like, that was just, it was bad.
It was bad. It was real bad.
But anyway, so that's what I've been doing, is playing Final Fantasy 14.
All right. Well, you know, I'm happy that you've been doing that. And let me know when you get to in-game, because then we'll raid and stuff. So you get
we'll see.
Up.
I'm still not sure if that's, you know, if I'm going to be putting time in.
We
going
to get
that,
your gear up, because by the time we getting your gear up, Robbie, flat out.
I
all
can
right?
just buy some, though.
Nah.
No.
You got to earn
don't
it.
Don't do that. No, don't do I that. Because, again, the raids are pretty good. Well, not the 24 man. The Nier Automata raid is fucking dumb.
Womp womp.
Anyway, with all I said, here's what's happening in the world of video games.
So we are going to start on a little bit of a downer here. Unfortunately, some news coming out of Brazil. The Brazilian voice actress for Mercy from Overwatch, as well as Cortana from the Halo series, and Marge in the Brazilian version of The Simpsons, was killed last week, actually. It took 6 days before they actually found her body.
Wow.
Was killed by a longtime friend of hers that she had actually met at a psychiatrist hospital. Both this man and his mother, the mother is still at large, are responsible for the death of Christiane Luiz. And apparently the guy has basically admitted to it, said that it was he was defending himself, but also him and his mother took a bunch of stuff from her apartment and also apparently were after her inheritance.
This is bullshit.
Well, there was also a Brazilian streamer that was killed by her boyfriend, actually, I think a few months back, 2-3 months back. There's just been a rash of crime, it seems like, against some of these high profile figures in the gaming community. And it's just really saddening to hear coming out of there.
Yeah, no, it's really, really upsetting. It continues to be really frustrating. And also, you know, it's one of those things where it happens more than you think. I remember even Sion Blake, who was the voice actor for a character in Final Fantasy XIV, she was murdered in London, a few years ago.
Yeah,
a couple years back. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really, really awful to hear. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers go to Luisa, mm-hmm. her name is, her family. It's terrible. It's terrible to hear about this. And unfortunately, you know, these things, the world sucks, man. The world sucks. There's no way, other way to put it. I don't know how much deeper I could get into it, obviously. But I hope this guy and his mom.
Yeah.
This guy, I hope they just rot forever in prison. And from what I hear, prison in Brazil is not a great place to be.
No.
So, yeah, that is the bare minimum of what they deserve. But moving on to actual video game news and happier news, EVO 2021 actually happened over the weekend.
That flew right over my head. I did not, like, because Sony bought EVO earlier this year.
Yes, they did. Here's the thing.
How did it go?
I knew, first of all, it went well. Online stream, you know, it went well. I think the casting was as good as it could have been. But the problem, again, is the fact that fighting games, like traditional sports, lose so much when the live audience is not there. It just does not feel the same, and especially EVO. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, certain players are going to be able to put EVO champion next to their name, but it's going to be an asterisk.
Do you feel like you would have rather them skipped it if it can't be live?
Me personally, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, is it just because the level of competition is higher?
No, the competition was great, but I feel like not having the people come from all over the world to coalesce and really, really come together, to me, it's even like the Olympics this year. The Olympics lost so much by not having spectators.
Yeah.
The drama was still there, but it wasn't the same. The energy wasn't the same. The excitement wasn't the same. And so for me, when it comes to this, I'm happy they went along with it in the long run. But I personally think that I would have been more happy to just have them wait till next year. Let's have a big bash when it comes back live and in person and all that good stuff. But going through some of the results here, the premier game was actually not Street Fighter this year.
Hold on. Was it Mortal Kombat?
No.
Guilty Gear?
Guilty Gear.
Wow.
Guilty Gear got the premier slot this year.
Basically an FGC pro now.
Yeah. But, and to be perfectly honest, based around the energy and the playability and the viewability of the game, deserves it. It deserves it. But our favorite Sonic Fox did not win. The favorite to win the whole thing actually ended up second, losing to Hotashi in the North American bracket, who was now our Evo champion. But the good thing with Guilty Gear, 7 different characters out of top 8. That is great for a fighting game.
Yeah, especially like fighting games primarily. Like you just remember the early, you know, Melee tournaments where it's like, oh, you're not playing Fox? Oh, you're not
then
playing
you
Ice Climbers? Yeah, have
then
fun.
You lost. Then you lost.
Like,
so,
it makes it so much easier for somebody that's not a diehard FGC fan to come in and watch when it feels like just there's some sort of variety in
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. So it's really good to see that we got Eggsy out of Asia getting the championship out of the Asia bracket, and a old classic, Leffen, getting the bracket out of Europe, and Trema out of the bracket for Guilty Gear in Latin America. Again, a lot of really, really big names here. Street Fighter V, we have a winner in Kiwano. Zian winning for Asia South. Horace Paulin for Street Fighter V in Latin America. Kusanagi in Latin Central America. Nephew, one of my favorite names in all of the FGC. Nephew winning for North America West. And Idom winning in North America East.
Are we going to see more like pros pivoting to Guilty Gear? Does it seem like Guilty Gear is the wave for the upcoming like tournaments?
You know, I think the thing with Guilty Gear is I think they've dumbed a lot of the systems down. Guilty Gear used to be a very intimidating game to play because it just has so many systems and subsystems. But they've simplified the gameplay. They made everything very, very easy to understand. I mean, basic shit, like your, you know, anti-air. Everybody has a forward punch anti-air. Every character. Forward punch is your anti-air. So no matter what character you're playing, somebody jump in and you forward punch. There you go. You solve that. So it does make it a little bit easier for players of other games to come in and get good at Guilty Gear. But I also think that, you know, people who are good at anime fighters are going to be good at this game, point blank period. So obviously a bunch of other results going on. We won't go through everything, but also winning the North American results for Tekken 7 and Shadow 20Z, using a bunch of characters, but very excited to see some of those Evo champions. And now we gotta talk a little Call of Duty, because apparently new one is on the horizon. We know this. It's Call of Duty. We know every year that a new Call of Duty is coming out, but apparently...
Oh, every year? What happened every 6 months?
Yeah, really.
I mean...
they taking the time on this one?
Call of Duty. But apparently, here we go, y'all. Back to World War II is allegedly what the leaks are saying.
Is that good? Do we like that?
Well, I mean, what I've seen was that it mentioned the storming of Normandy and the Eastern Front and everything like that, or the Western Front, and back to essentially, like, if you blacked out after playing Call of Duty on the original Xbox and you went into a coma and woke up when Vanguard's released, that they're going to be the same continuation. It's going to be, you know, more Nazis, more killing, you know.
Well, the thing with me that I tend to enjoy sometimes is my favorite Call of Duties, I will tell people without a doubt, my favorite Call of Duties are Modern Warfare 1, mm-hmm. Modern Warfare 2, and World at War. Those are my three favorite Call of Duties. World at War is consistently underrated. Consistently underrated, I think, by a lot of people because it wasn't Modern Warfare. But I think, you know, going back to World War 2, which is something that they did in the previous generation and people didn't like it,
I feel like every time they talk about going back to one of the world wars, I feel like the general sentiment prior to it happening is like, oh yeah, going back to its roots. But then when it happens, it just
it's because the last game, I think, did a really bad job at making at taking the modern systems,
yes,
and putting them in the World War II setting. I think they have a better grasp now on to how to make that work because Modern Warfare was so good. Even the latest Black Ops kind of didn't have the same, you know, response because Modern Warfare is still so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to this. I may actually pick this up because, you know, this latest Black Ops just was not that pleasing to me. But I think going back to the World War II setting, it may help. I don't know. But it looks like, you know, same old, same old.
Yeah, I don't think this is the move to get people who are not interested in Call of Duty to come back to it. Like, I just don't think it's okay going back to the originals, but it's not the first time.
here's the problem that I truly feel is that we haven't had that many big wars in our generations. The generations living, right? There's been World War II, Vietnam, the Cold War, if you want to call that a war, and the war in Afghanistan. Those have been the war on terror. Those have been the wars that we've lived through. Only really one of them is a true global scale conflict. The rest of them were regional conflicts.
No, I'm obviously
in the Korean War.
I'm obviously not like a Call of Duty fan. I've played a few of them, never got into the multiplayer, but the reason that I always play them, and I know that real Call of Duty fans out there will probably laugh at me for it, but I always just did them for the campaign, right?
Yeah.
So I think the fact that I have Apex as like my first-person shooter is what I never even give Call of Duty a second chance,
yeah,
or a second thought right now. However, when I do play, you know, the ones that I really enjoyed, like you, were the Modern Warfare ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that like placing these, you know, in the past in historical wars is the way to necessarily draw people in. I would rather, you know, give me some sort of fiction.
The fictional war.
Wasn't there one where you fought through like New York to get to like to the harbor or something?
From Modern Warfare 2 on, all of them were fictional conflicts.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I prefer that better.
So do I.
Because then you can literally choose wherever you want to go, right? The mission in the ghillie suits through was that Chernobyl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great mission.
It's a great mission.
Yeah.
Classic mission.
Of that stuff.
So, I mean, I just look at it like I really, you know, think that this should, in my opinion, this should be the last time they do this. This is the last time they should do World War II for a while. And on top of that, I just said it, the war, I forgot about the Korean War. There's not been a Call of Duty set in the Korean War. How?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of Vietnam War, Korean War, anything around.
They did one in Vietnam.
It's still just like, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but that's what happens when, like, you've gone to this well so many times. Like, how is the cow dry at this point? Because
yeah,
there's nothing else that I can think of.
I mean, unless they do Call of Duty, the Revolution, America Revolution, like, that's not going to be fun.
No.
So it's like the meta. Oh, yeah, the cannonball meta where we just sit back and protect our one cannon that we can shoot
I gotta
three
reload
times.
Reload my musket.
You know what? Actually,
no, don't say it's a good idea. It's not a good
idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying I would like to see them try. You wouldn't like to see Sledgehammer Games and Infinity War try at making the Revolutionary War enjoyable. In terms of gameplay, you wouldn't want to see that. You wouldn't want to see that attempt.
I don't care.
They can try.
You wouldn't want to see it.
Not really.
I would want to see it. I would want to see it. You know what? Infinity War. Hear me now. Try your best to make the Revolutionary War a thing, and that is going to be it for part one. In part two, Marvel Monday, we will be talking about the first episode of What If. All right.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Don't forget to go to our website and our social medias at Checkpoint XP or CheckpointXP.com. Also, don't forget to holler at us on stream this week. I'll be playing some Boyfriend Dungeon, so get ready. I don't know who I'm going to pick. I have no idea what's going on.
You just got to commit to it with an open heart.
You know what I'm doing? I'm saying whatever weapon I enjoy using the most is the one I'm going to go with.
That's fine. I get it.
Regardless of who they actually
of who they actually are. That's what I'm going to go with.
You're a utilitarian. I respect
that. That's what I'm going to go with. But you know what? It's a dating sim, so it's going to be thrown out the window the moment I find somebody I actually like. Also, some Guilty Gear straps, so get ready for that. And Robbie, I assume you will be playing Apex and 14
a little bit of everything. Yep. Enjoying Edge of Eternity as well. Almost finished with, I think I got about maybe 2 or 3 more hours in Claire's run on Resident Evil 2 Remake. I hate the fact that Tyrant is always after you in the second run.
Just stop being a little bitch.
No, that just makes it not fun for me. This moment I hear him, boom, 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 I'm just like, this is so stupid. I hate this
so
much.
It's amazing. It's good. But anyway, it is Monday, and so we got to talk a little Marvel Monday. Now, What If came out this week, or last week, excuse me, Wednesdays, which I kind of prefer. I like having something in the middle of the week.
It's better than having everything come out on Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like it. Weird Beer, did you get a chance to check it out a little bit?
I did, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel like that's how I approach most Marvel properties.
See, that's where I'm at. Cautiously optimistic.
Does it look better than Loki?
Yes.
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 Do I think it'll be as well put together throughout the entire thing?
Well, here's the thing, because we've actually been through this quite a bit with DC, right? And whether we realize it or not, animated stuff has less expectations
it
piled
does,
upon
period.
It than live action, especially because this wasn't even anything that had to be rooted in canon. They could just release this whenever the hell they want, just been like, here, it's here, just go with it now.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen exactly where it goes, if that's what it'll be, if they try to do something else with it, because now that it's in the multiverse, they easily can. Let me start with criticisms first, which there aren't many and they're not big, but I felt like the Agent Carter story was a super safe one, and the disappointment that I have in it is it's still the same story of what Cap does. A few things have changed, and obviously it's Peggy Carter instead of Steve Rogers, right? I'm looking more forward to the stories that when they happen, they diverge completely in another direction. Like Marvel Zombies, that's not going to be like, oh, here's a story you're familiar with, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like, things are going to go off the rails, and that's what I'm looking for.
I think that's why you start with the Captain Carter story, is because for anybody coming in watching this, you don't want to go so far off the rails.
That's probably fair.
That, you know, people are just like, what the fuck actually happened? That's not the story, I know. Mm-hmm. Because we got to remember that people are stupid, and if the story is not spoon-fed, then that they will not give two shits about it.
Yep.
And so you start with something incredibly familiar, with characters that people are incredibly familiar with a story that has been beat to death, and you just tweak it a little. I think when we start to see the T'Challa start, by the way, the whole concept of T'Challa being Star-Lord.
See, that's another one that I think might be still very similar.
No,
though.
I think it's so divergent because
I hope so.
No,
because
they're
see
not
him going in to get the Infinity Orb the same way that Star-Lord did.
Yeah,
so.
But they're not even in the they don't even operate like the same people.
We will see.
I don't know. Part of me also hopes that there's some restraint in the writing. You know what I mean? Like, this has the opportunity to really be fan service central, which I think would be degrading. You know what I mean? Like, with like WandaVision, right? I'm glad that was such a special effects heavy series because it had to be so meticulously planned from A to B to C. Like, they knew what they were doing. There was one consistent thing all the way through. I hope that this doesn't turn into like, well, what do people on Twitter want to see the most?
No. Because first of all, in the past, Kevin Feige has said that if they actually have like a big movie, like let's say Infinity War, for example, and too many people are guessing what they're doing, if they can, they will change what's happening
to
defy expectations.
I mean, they put out fake trailers, Rick.
I know, but I
think what is more likely here than them worrying about, oh, let's do fan service-y stuff, I think that this is their chance to test the waters on some more of their crazy stuff such as Marvel Zombies. That was never a what-if story. That's its own full-ass
universe,
story
yeah.
and universe somewhere. I think this is their chance to be like, are people actually interested in this kind of stuff?
Well, and I think also another thing that it helps people do is before we get too far, I mean, there's been like 22 movies already, right? Before they get too far into the next phase of big films, of which which Shang-Chi and the Eternals will finally kick off, because Black Widow still technically exists in the...
Even though it's technically phase four, it's more of like a...
It's a bridge movie. It exists in the other sort
one,
of
one foot
realm.
In, one foot out.
Yeah. Before we get too far, it's like, all right, guys, remember here's how we got here, but what if? That's really all it is. And the thing that I'm very, very excited for is the concept of this is not, we know Marvel, this is not an exercise in futility.
Yeah, something, there's a reason.
There's a reason why this exists. And we know that the multiverse is canon now. It has been made. And so this is, in my opinion, their way of illustrating the multiverse, unraveling the multiverse at work. And at some point at the end of this series, we will get something that sees some of these things bleed over a little bit into the mainline, MCU, if you will.
If everybody goes crazy enough for Captain Carter, you're telling me they're not going to cut the check for Haley Atwell to come back in the MCU?
Yeah, at least for like a half a movie.
I mean, I also, you know what else? Like, I think it's smart putting this series here as opposed to like when we were in the throes of like the mainline. You know what I mean? Like Thanos was still happening, all that kind of stuff. This is a really good expectation reset, I think. You know what I mean? To be able to reestablish some of these characters outside of the roles that you saw them in before. And you may not see them again, but it gives the feeling of like, everything's changing. Nothing's the same.
And that's the point. That's the point, is that this what if is supposed to be used to illustrate that all of this shit is happening.
Yeah.
It's not a what if. These are alternate universes. These are all things that are happening simultaneously with, the butterfly effect. One little thing changed, and now divergent timeline.
Well, of which, one really big thing changed.
Yeah, of which they went significantly out of their way during the end of Loki to express. So I think... What if I'm looking forward to it? I'm looking forward to seeing if we do get any new characters introduced. Because right now, the only things that we do know about are Captain Carter, T'Challa, Star-Lord, and Marvel Zombies.
There is also, I thought this was funny, the writer did an interview a few weeks ago and asked about some of the stuff that didn't make it in. And apparently he had a Guardian story that he wanted to tell that Feige looked at and goes, no, that's too close to Guardians 3.
Damn.
Like he somehow predicted some part of Guardians 3.
Now, if you have the ability to choose anything, you can make any wild story that you want to have happen become a reality.
Uh-huh.
What's the thing that you walk into the writer's room, you tell them, this is what we're doing?
X-Men versus Avengers.
Well, I think we're going to get that eventually. I would have done Marvel Zombies because I want something that's so out there that like most people would look at and be like, no, you can't. You can't do that with what we have. It would mess too much stuff up. Besides that, I would like to get more of a World War Hulk story than like the little bit of like influence that we got in Thor Ragnarok.
Actually, World War Hulk would have been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That shit would have been pretty cool because even like the whole like Hulkbuster armor that we got teased on
wasn't freaking real.
Wasn't even real. Like that's a World War Hulk invention. I would have loved that. I would have loved if they did the story where the Phoenix wants Black Panther to be the next host of the Phoenix Force.
Dude, that would be a great what if.
Yeah. So that would be an amazing what if T'Challa became the host for the Phoenix. That's just
I feel like there's
crazy.
There's got to be also like I want a
Onslaught. What if Professor X went crazy and took over a bunch of people's minds, and his subconscious manifested into this evil entity between that fused him and Magneto.
See, like, we've had so many time travel type stories now, just not only in Marvel, but like Marvel, just popular X-Men, culture, all that kind of stuff. I it's hard for me to get excited about some alternate reality stuff because I'm like, well, we kind of got like some stuff that was a little bit different, but I want something like Robbie, like you said, like Marvel Zombies, where it's just so, even if it's Punisher, right? Yeah. Like Punisher running through and massacring every single character.
Punisher with a Venom symbiote.
Yeah, something like just wild, just like literally put, throw a dart.
Is that random shit? Just
something so off the wall that it's not like, oh, it was different enough, but we still,
exactly.
You know, we still ended up at the same place.
Squirrel Girl gets the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, yes. You know, like what happened?
That's what I want. I don't want like, oh, a good guy's now kind of bad, or like a bad guy might be teaming up with another good guy. Like, I don't want. I want something just chaos.
What happens if Sue Storm got with Doom instead of Reed Richards? Like,
oh, what if Sue Storm got with Namor?
Because Namor was on her tough.
Yeah, he was super fast.
Yeah, he was.
What if Peter Parker wasn't bitten by a spider, but he was bitten by like a grasshopper or a praying mantis, and instead he has giant claw arms.
If he was Mantis Man, he'd get to have sex one time.
One time.
One time. And
put
that's
it in. That's how you end the episode.
So make it
no,
count.
No, isn't there a what if story where the spider bit Mary Jane and not him?
I think so, but first of all, there's all sorts of those. I mean, we got.
I mean, that's Gwen. That's Spider Gwen.
That's Spider Gwen that way. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. I want just.
I think she
like,
goes like Ghost Spider now.
Oh, well, that's a dumb name.
Well, but it's like, better than having her name in it.
Yeah,
Who's Spider Gwen?
Spider Gwen?
Anyway, Gwen, what's up?
All right, do you okay, so let's before we see any more of this, how do you rank it? Does it go above Captain and Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Here's my current ranking.
Okay.
In general. All right. WandaVision is at the top only because it took chances, and only in the last episode or so did I get disappointed.
Yeah.
But everything in it, the lead up to it, each episode, pretty good. Strong episodes all the way around. Then Falcon and Winter Soldier, very close second for being consistent throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And touching on some themes that I didn't think Marvel would have the balls to touch onto, especially not in that series. So, all right. Very close number two. What If has the potential to be third, solid third, and Loki right now is like basement tier.
Really?
Loki for me
is terrible.
One of the best first episodes. And then obviously what it did in the end like was pretty good, but all the middle stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was. What? Great first episode. Arguably the best single episode of a Marvel show, TV show, in the last episode, arguably. And then everything in the middle is just flim flam.
I'd probably overall rate them the same. WandaVision, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and then Loki and What If are going to be fighting for that third spot.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to be better?
No, we don't count Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Right. That exists on its own separate.
Yeah, that's something
ranking.
Completely different in a conversation that we're not ready to have.
we can't have that conversation.
All right, I understand.
But I think What If has potential to be in that third place slot, especially considering if they do take some big chances. We only know of three episodes, really. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, what is it, how many episodes is it?
There's 10.
Yeah, there's 10. You know how many fucking stories that is? We might fuck around and see the Sentry. We don't know what might happen. We can see all types of crazy fuck shit in What If. So I'm looking forward to it. Very quickly, also, the new Venom movie delayed. Not shocking, not surprising. But at the same time, it's like, damn, don't put out the trailer.
That's what I was gonna say. They literally put the trailer out and they were like, psych.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, fucking cyberpunk films is what it is. But anyway, so that is now, what is that delayed until?
I actually don't think they've decided. It's either going to be till October or till January.
Hey, January. I'd put my money on January now.
I think that they're probably going to wait and see how well Shang-Chi does. If Shang-Chi does good enough, they'll say, all right, October. If it doesn't, they'll put it to January.
No, why wouldn't it be the opposite? Like, if Shang-Chi sucks, they're like, all right, we need another property out. Put it out.
No, because I think that they want to they want to get back to making $1 billion off of these Marvel movies.
Did you see, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but did you see the comments that the Disney CEO made about Shang-Chi?
No.
They called it an experiment. They literally said the exact quote, we think it's actually going to be an interesting experiment for us because it's only got
not putting it on Disney
Plus.
Yeah,
45-day window coming to the theaters. And so
I thought it was because it was like all Asian people.
That's the optics.
Yeah, so then they all, you know, the star comes out and he's like, we are not an interesting experiment. We're an underdog, the underestimated, and he's fired the fuck up to make history. I just think it's like, that's the most tone deaf. How can they go so all in on What If, right? And be like, no, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they have like a movie starring an Asian central actor, you know what I mean? Like starring
all the principal actors are Asian.
Exactly.
It's like, the first time like that's happened.
They're building this whole like thing that could be just like back to like Black Panther. And they're like, I'm not so sure about that, but we gotta talk about
see,
What If.
The problem is the problem is, listen, I ain't even gonna front. The problem is they didn't go all in. They didn't go all in on Shang-Chi. They went all in on Black Panther. They went and got the top flight of black actors. They went and they got Kendrick Lamar to do the fucking accompaniment soundtrack.
A great
soundtrack. They did the visuals. They went and got Ryan Coogler, one of the best up and coming directors in all of Hollywood, to come and do the film. All across the board, they was just like, listen, we going full force on this. And Shang-Chi, I just feel like it comes like, oh, let's get some Chinese people. Like, that's how it feels. Like, I'm not trying to talk shit. I'm excited to see it because I'm excited to see just a straight up ass whooping movie finally.
Yo, exactly.
Coming
an
from Marvel.
Ass whooping movie.
But traditionally, ass whooping movies do not do well at the box office. Traditionally.
And, you know, still coming out of / being in the middle of this pandemic.
Yeah.
And see, here's the shitty thing, too. If it doesn't do well, you know what they're going to blame it on.
Yep. Yeah, so I just feel bad for Shang-Chi because I just know.
Look,
don't
worry, Seymour. I'm gonna be there in theaters in seats day one.
I'm going to see it day one in
masked
theaters
up.
Too. I'm going to see it day one in theaters, and I'm going to see Eternals day one in theaters too. So, you know, with that said, guys, that's gonna be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back here tomorrow with even more esports and gaming news. For Weird Beer. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Team Liquid locking up their spot. 100 Thieves and TL now locked up their spots to go to Worlds. We're just waiting on that last team. It'll be EG, but
just hold out some hope. Have it be
actually,
in words,
I think EG may have been eliminated, so it might be C9. Either way, the race to be eliminated from Worlds is still hotting up in the LCS, so be prepared. For Weird Beer and Robbie Landis, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we will see you all tomorrow. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.